The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
Ladies and gentlemen, honored to have on the show with us today someone who I did a little something with in the not-too-distant past. She was running for re-election as president of the National Organization for Women. As many of you know, I am a life member of NOW. And she actually won re-election. She is the president of the National Organization for Women, beginning another term and won with a significant amount of the vote. So we, of course, want to get an update on NOW and what NOW is doing and the state of NOW from her and her in her position as president, newly reelected. But, of course, it's also timely. I think if we're going to watch television, there's a whole lot of guests talking about Cuomo who are men. I'm like, well, why don't we talk to some guests that are women about what happened in the news with Andrew Cuomo, about to call him his father's name. President Christian Nunes joins us now from the National Organization for Women. Now, Christian, Madam President, congratulations on re-election.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Reverend Mark. It's a pleasure to be here with you. And thank you for all you've done to help with the election and the campaigning.
Well, I was saying to Christian earlier, folks, I'm honored to have been asked to be involved. And as I've also said to Christian, I'm a life member, but I want to be more of a life servant. So I'm at your disposal, to you, to the organization. I just don't want to be a life member on paper, but, you know, yeah. I want to be involved. And I think it's important that those of us who are men, mm-hmm. who are womanists and feminists, you know, get off our rusty dusties and do stuff to help y'all out. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, congratulations. Well, real quick, talk to us about how the election went, how the turnout went. And just what's the forecast for the organization going forward in the months ahead? It's particularly in light of all these fights that are before us.
Right. Well, I will tell you, we are really proud. We run on Slate, so I ran with my current vice president, and I'm happy to say we ran on a slate of campaign on integrity, respect, and her name is Bear Edwards. So we ran together and won together with 64% of the vote. We won with 64% of the vote, and it was 80% turnout for those who of all the credential voters. So that's a really high turnout for NOW. Historically, to have 80% of the credential members turn out, there were 779 credential members to the conference and 80% voted. So that's pretty high turnout for NOW historically. So we're really happy about that. This is our first year having an annual conference, full annual conference. Let's just say last year during COVID, we had our first annual conference. But this is our first time having a full annual conference where we had everything, bylaws, resolutions, business, and everything over 3 weekends back to back. So and it was a great conference. We were really excited for the work we did. We're really excited to move in the direction of really focusing on having an anti-racist, intersectional, multi-generational agenda and purpose for now. So that's a big part of what we want to make sure we're doing, making sure now it's moving in the direction of being anti-racist, intersectional, inclusive, creating safe space, and really working and being in alignment and solidarity with amplifying the voices of BIPOC members, members from marginalized communities, and really make sure we're uplifting and bringing those members into leadership and working in solidarity with those communities as well. That's really important for us.
All of that is very important. A few years ago, the popular term that many of us invoked was the war being waged against women, the war against women. I'm an old soldier. I don't walk away from battles until you order me to. So I'm still there. And really haven't been given a reason not to be there. We don't use the term as often, but I mean, if we look beneath the surface, there are a lot of issues. There are even, you know, some cases that are going to be coming before the court regarding women's reproductive rights, all that, those types of things. So we still need to be in this fight, don't we?
Absolutely. I mean, if you really look at what's been coming forth, the cases and what's just happened with oral suppression, reproductive rights, climate, I mean, everything that's happening, we're seeing the communities that are most impacted. It's like we're kind of like seeing a repetition of what's happened generation after generation, decade after decade. It's just repeating. It's like, I feel like I'm putting a record on replay and just watching the same thing happen. I feel like I'm, you know, Jim Crow happened before my time. I'm in my 40s, but my mom, you know, and my uncles and aunts, and just the things they experienced and they lived. Even things I think even I experienced in the 90s and seeing and experiencing racism, I experienced myself as a Black woman, I think I'm still seeing recur. It's just a different name. You know, we're just using different semantics. We're calling it something different. You know, it's a different strategy that we're using now to try to get away with those things. And so I always talk to my membership and others and saying this is why our movement can't be siloed, because we're all being impacted by the same things and the same types of suppression. It's just labeling it different. So this gives more reason to why we have to get in this fight together. And we all have to work together in unison and solidarity. But at the same time, for those who are living the lived experience, we have to amplify them and lift them up and follow their lead, because they're the ones living the experience. And we have to let them tell us and let them lead and show us what we need to be doing, make sure that we're doing the right work. So I think
more MIP after this message. You're absolutely right, folks. You heard President Nunes mention intersectionalism. Just for the record, she is only the second African-American president in NOW's history. She is the youngest person of color to hold the office, obviously, and the youngest president, period, in more than 40 years. Those are not small things. Those are big things. When you talk about the race issue, when you talk about the generational issue, before we move to the Cuomo subject, just in your own words, Christian, what it means to get that many votes, to get that much turnout as an African-American woman and as the youngest incumbent in 40 years, what does that say about the membership of NOW and the direction you feel they are ready to head toward?
Well, you know, I think it says a lot because, you know, NOW's membership is predominantly white membership. It's 96% white, I believe. So for me, you know, and I would say, you know, we still have a lot of work to do within NOW, but for them to really, we were very clear. We were very transparent with what we want to do. And my membership will tell you, I'll be the first one to talk about white supremacy. I'll be the first one to call out the fact we have to challenge those things and we have to challenge structural racism, because these are the things that are impacting people and it contributes to oppression. So for my membership to accept those as facts and to accept that these are the things that we have to do as an organization to really help the communities that we're trying to help, and to understand this is the work we need to do, and to be willing to do this work, I think is powerful. And I think that it's eye-opening to see that there are some people who are really, and allies who are really committed to doing this work. So yeah. It's a good thing.
folks, it says a lot about President Nunes, too, that, you know, at this time, people have endorsed and invested in her leadership. It says a lot about her leadership ability, her character, the stature she has within this movement. And we know that, you know, there's always been struggle and at times tension between Black and white women in the feminist and or the womanist movement. So this is a significant and timely moment, and we look forward to nothing but a great success from President Christian Nunes. Now, Andrew Cuomo.
Yes.
Did it surprise, it kind of surprised me because I didn't think he would do it. Did it kind of surprise you he went on ahead and resigned? He didn't seem like he wanted to.
I think he realized he had no other options. I will tell you, we called for his resignation early on. Now was one of the first orgs that spoke out about this when the allegations first came out. And when we did a press release back when it first came out, and I reached out to my New York State president, and I talked with her about it, and it was, you know, and we talked about it. And one of the things I was saying is that our organization, we speak and we believe in survivors. We believe what survivors say. And it's not for us to question. It's not for us to do anything. But, you know, I'm not surprised because after the investigation, I feel like he really didn't have much option at that point, you know, so his hands were tied, but he definitely, I don't feel like wanted to do it, especially after Hurt's interview today, you know?
Yeah, no, he did. Now, your reaction to, and I mean, it's significant. We had another woman, an African-American woman, actually announce the results of the investigation. That would be Attorney General Tish James. Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts? I mean, we had heard some things. We knew some things were going on, but then she codified it with the investigation and the conclusion of the investigation, the report of the investigation. What were your thoughts? Was it much worse than you imagined it would be?
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
The reason why is that, you know, I feel throughout this whole entire story, since women since the accusers have come forward, he's never taken accountability or responsibility. He's gaslighted his accusers. He's minimized his behavior. He's written it off as, this is just what I do. This is just how I am. You know, they looked at it wrong. They took it the wrong way. Well, so what? I did that. That's just what I do. He's never taken responsibility, accountability for anything. So for a person to never actually take responsibility, accountability for any of their behavior, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, if he won't take accountability for some of these things that we heard, that any person in a place of employment would know, you clearly would be susceptible, you know, suspect to possible sexual harassment, then to me, I would think that there might be other cases.
Yeah.
If not, well, more than even for the ones that come out already.
More MIP after this message.
So folks, this is why we need women's voices and why we as men should listen to women. You all just heard me ask her, was she surprised? And she said no. Why? Because women live these experiences every day, right? I mean, this is when, once that culture exists, I mean, you kind of have to know that that's not as random. I mean, it is the culture that is in the main. That's what he was doing. What do you think? Does a case like Cuomo's help the movement? Me Too movement, the Time's Up movement, the movement against sexual harassment, does the way this has played out and been resolved in his resignation, do you think it helps the movement in terms of creating another type of culture where women feel comfortable coming forward? Christian?
You know, I think it's been a slippery slope. I think it's been a little bit concerning how he's come forward. I feel that he's had too much of a platform to gaslight women in this time. Mm. You know, even what has come out recently with Time's Up, you know, what some of the stories of Time's Up with them calling, you know, I think it's been a really difficult place, I think, for four survivors with the Kumo case. And it concerns me because it's already, you know, statistics say that most women underreport. Most women, not just women, survivors, victims underreport. They don't come forward because they're fear that they won't be believed. There'll be retaliation. And so when that's already believed, and then you have, you know, situations where when they do come forward, they're criticized, they're questioned, they're treated as if they're the ones that are wrong. They're gaslit in public and social media. Organizations which are providing resources maybe aren't providing the resources are also questioning. There's political organizations that are supporting the ones who are accused. I mean, there are so many different layers of complexity that have happened with this that I think it almost puts the survivors and the accusers in a position where it makes them feel like, you know, where is my safe space to come forward? And where is my safe space to be able to come forward and feel protected and not be re-traumatized? And that's what my concern is. Like, we need to be able to create more safe space for those who've been through these things to not be re-traumatized and have a way to be able to have resources and not constantly put in their life where they're the ones who are on trial.
Well,
the person who is accused is being defended as they are the one that's the victim.
Yeah. Andrew Cuomo, folks, resigning as the governor of New York. You've heard from the president of the National Organization for Women, Christian Nunez, to get her view on it. We're thankful for that. It's a step. It may be a small step, but we've got to keep, as you said, Christian, create the environment for women to feel as if they can come forward. And, you know, we talked about your generation. It just seems as if there's just this generation of men who've gotten away with this all their lives. Mm-hmm. And this is their comeuppance. I know other men in other situations, not necessarily public, where it's like, you know, it's hard to stop that habit. That's just what's always been accepted. It's been handed down. Something's got to be done. And I'm glad you're crying out about it. And all men like me should be joining me in decrying that as well.
And I think this Robert Mark is where men can come to place to challenge toxic masculinity. Because that's really what we're talking about, right? Toxic masculinity, the belief and that and the acceptance that there needs to be aggressively competition to dominate others, the socially acceptance of regression, you know, the socially acceptance of overly aggressive behavior, male violence, of responsiveness, overly sexually of violence and aggression and sexualized violence. This exception that men can behave this way, and that's just how men are, it leads to gender violence. It leads to sexual violence. It leads to men not being able to process their own emotions, you know? And we continue to accept this and don't talk about these things. It just perpetuates in other areas that become very harming to this healthy healing, healthy relationships. I mean, on so many different levels. And it's not just for women to always talk about it. It's also for men to hold other men accountable, to not perpetuate it, not engage in it, not to allow it to happen in their lives, to learn how to embrace their both sides of themselves, you know, and know that it's okay. And that's where men can be very powerful in this movement as well.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Folks, check out now. We invite you to go to the National Organization for Women. Get involved. And those of you who may used to have been involved, we got dudes like Church Christian, you know, you have Homecoming. Folks, come back. If you haven't been involved, especially those of you in the women's movement, want to get involved. I mean, women do need to organize. Women need to have their spaces to organize to address women's issues. So I'm saying this to you as a man, as a member of NOW. Come on home. Come on home and get involved. And we've got a president who's still new. I mean, this is just her re-election. And she hasn't been there that long, so she's still new, and she's fresh and wonderful. And folks, get involved. And some of you men as well, if you're confused about what's going on and what you should be saying and doing, support this organization. Get involved so you can learn, listen, and help us all as men speak out and against toxic masculinity ourselves. So please, we invite you to go to now.org. Yeah. If there are women in your life, gift them. That's one of the nicest gifts you can give. Gift them a membership to Now. Do that for them, and I know they'll appreciate that as well. Christian, as always, we appreciate you talking to you. Folks, again, as you know, we're getting ready for August 28th in Washington, D.C. We're going to make good trouble at the site of the March on Washington, where Dr. King spoke in 1963, and Now is going to be there. Christian will be there as one of our partners. Yeah. We want to make sure that all are represented. So Now, we, Christian, we appreciate you, okay?
Yes, thank you for having me. And definitely, if you need anything, please reach out.
Absolutely. Folks, go to now.org. Thank you, Christian.
Thank you.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. Please remember to listen, like, and wherever you get your podcasts, please give the show a 5-star rating. And please do spread the word. Let's all continue to pray for each other during this pandemic and this police-demic. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.